Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chen.
Hey there, race fans. It's that time again. It's time for Race Fans Rock Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Infield Jen, and let's get this party started. A little preview of what you can expect tonight on the show. I'll be speaking with Garrett Smithley, a NASCAR Camping World Truck Series driver who made his debut not too long ago, and he'll be on to talk all about finally making his dreams of driving in the Top 3 Series a reality. And I'll also finally have my boyfriend, Brian Kozlowski, on the show. And I got to say, you know, I'm a little nervous about having him on the show. I think it's kind of hard to interview someone, you know, that I see every single day and night, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, I know Brian gives a great interview on every show that he's ever been on, and I'm sure he will, you know, we will get through it just fine, or, you know, he's on the couch. But anyway, he'll be on in a little while to talk about racing in the ARCA Racing Series and about taking the crew chief spot on top of the pit box and Matt Krajewski this year. We'll get all to that in just a minute, but first, I want to send my sincere condolences to the friends and family of NASCAR legend Buddy Baker, who sadly passed away yesterday at the age of 74 due to lung cancer. And Buddy was a Daytona 500 winner in 1980 and a well-known commentator on the National Network and CBS. And recently you could hear him on Sirius XM as a co-host on The Late Shift and Trade and Paint. Buddy was a real fierce competitor on the track with 19 wins in his premier series, including a victory in the 1977 500 at Darlington Raceway, where he lapped the rest of the field. In 1972-73, Buddy Baker became the first driver to win consecutive World 600s. He also won the inaugural preseason event, now known as the Sprint Unlimited, in 1979. He was named one of NASCAR's 50 greatest drivers in 1998, and in 2014, it was his first nomination for inclusion into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. NASCAR chairman and CEO Brian France went on to say, "Many of today's fans know Buddy Baker as one of the greatest storytellers in the sport, a unique skill that endeared him to millions. But those who witnessed his racing talent recognized Buddy as a fast and fierce competitor, setting speed records and winning on NASCAR's biggest stages. It is that dual role that made Buddy an absolute treasure and will be missed dearly." And I think Brian France said it really well. And yeah, Buddy Baker will be sorely missed by the racing community. I personally had the chance to meet Buddy 4 years ago at the NASCAR Hall of Fame when I attended one of the induction ceremonies. I know that we took a picture together, and I remember he asked, you know, a little about me, and I remember him saying that he thought I was very pretty. I took it as a compliment with a smile, and I thank him for it. You know, it's not every day that you get a really nice compliment from a living legend, so I know that I won't ever forget that, and Buddy will live on in our hearts and in the record books. Rest in peace, sir. All right. Well, I hope everyone tuning in had a great week since our last show. It was good for me, and it was pretty busy. We got the official word from our sponsors last Monday that we're going to go to Berlin Raceway this past weekend for the ARCA Racing Series Federated Auto Parts 200. So, as usual, things were a little last minute, and it was scramble time, you know, getting logos made and decals made. And, you know, and thankfully it wasn't a problem thanks to idpwraps.com here in Concord. They did a great job of getting it done for us within like a day and a half. But, you know, we had to find people to help us at the track and do pit stops and rent vehicles and get a trailer to haul it all, and, you know, all those last-minute adjustments, you know, to the car to hone it in for Berlin Raceway and all that good stuff. So we were running around all over Race City getting what we needed to go. But we got it all done, loaded it up on Thursday night, and left Friday morning for the 13-ish hour ride to Marne, Michigan. And I got to say, it was a really, really long ride. Oof. But we got to our hotel in Grand Rapids, and we stayed at the Riverfront Hotel, and they were also a sponsor for us, which was nice. And now let me tell you, that really helped save on expenses when traveling with a full crew. Plus, I haven't met a hotel owner that wasn't the nicest and most accommodating to our team, so that was a plus. Now that I have been to the Riverfront Hotel, you know, I got to say it's a really nice hotel. Big, it's clean, which is a huge thumbs up. It had a nice pool, which I didn't have time to take a dip in, but it sure looked like a lot of other guests were enjoying it. I did visit their bar area with my Thai specialist, April, and we sampled a few adult beverages after that long day of traveling, and I got to say, they do make a very good Long Island iced tea over there, so after a few of those, I was ready for bed, and I slept like a champ. On Friday morning, when we got to the track, you know, we got right to work. Since we had a full crew with all of, you know, the pit crew was with us and our mechanics and everybody, you know, we actually had a lot of people to kind of help, which made my day a lot easier. So I snapped some great pictures all day long and really just kind of got to focus on some PR, making sure that the team had everything that they needed. And I took care of, you know, getting the lunch and the dinner, all that kind of stuff. Helped push the car a little bit, but, you know, it definitely had the majority of what I usually have to do at the track, kind of lifted off my shoulders. It was nice. And Brian qualified well and started the race in fourth position, which, you know, was a good spot, and raced well and took home fourth place. I'll let him get into the details of the race from his perspective later on, but I was really proud of him taking home the top five, and so was the rest of our crew. Brian's extended family came out to show their support, and it's always nice seeing them. You know, they were really glad that they came out. Nothing like a family reunion at the racetrack, right? So while we were at Berlin Race, we were at the ARCA Series for the Federated Auto Parts 200, the NASCAR Sprint Cup, and Xfinity Series were road course racing at Watkins Glen International, where it was basically the Joey Logano show for the entire weekend. That's right, Joey got out the broom and swept the weekend, winning the NASCAR Xfinity and Sprint Cup races. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get to see the race, but I did follow along on social media as we were making the trip home. I actually saw where Joey was lighting up his tires after the Sprint Cup race and literally set his car on fire. Pics of the pit crew and putting it out with the fire extinguishers, it was pretty hysterical. It's a little scary, too. But, yeah, Joey definitely gave new meaning to the words, light him up. All right, well, it looks like we got my better half on the line, and I'm going to get his perspective on what this year in racing's been like, according to him. I'm talking about Brian Keselowski, and I got him on the line right now. Hey, stranger.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. You want to do your impersonation of Radio Man? Radio?
No, I'm good with that, Dan.
Damn it. I'll get you to do it one day on tape. Anyway, I got to tell you, I was a little nervous about having you on the show since, you know, we kind of see each other every day and know each other so well, but I think it's good to get you on here. So let's pretend for the sake of this interview that I don't, you know, we don't live together, no Basset Hounds, and I'm just a radio show host asking you questions. Good? Okay, since it's safe to say that, you know, everyone listening knows who you are and knows what you do, well, let's talk about what it's like to be you doing what you do from your perspective. So tell me what this year in racing has been like for you.
Well, it actually started off kind of like the last couple of years has been. We weren't really sure where we were going to go. We were building a new car, but didn't have the sponsorship to do anything with it. As far as the crew chief side of it, I knew that Matt Krzyzewski wanted to run Daytona and Talladega. We started off the year with a really good car and got a chance to run Daytona with him and finished top 10 and ran really well. Probably should have finished better than that, but circumstances had us finish 7th, so it wasn't so bad. We got the car ready to go for Talladega and actually ran really well there too and finished 6th. So had a really good start to the year, so that kind of fired them up a little bit, and they decided they wanted to buy a new car and we could go race. So we've been running all the intermediate tracks and Iowa with Matt, and actually that's gone over really well. I didn't know what to expect when we started going to the intermediates because he had never really ran them. But honestly, he's done a great job. He's way exceeded what I expected, for sure. And you know, we actually have a really good shot at winning some races. We were the only car, and I feel confident about that, that could run with the Junior Motorsports car at Pocono. And if circumstances would have went a certain way, we would have won that race. So gotcha. On that side, it's gone really well. On my car, it took a little longer to get some sponsorship together than we thought. But other than that, you know, Indianapolis didn't go the way we'd hoped for, but Berlin was a whole lot better show.
Gotcha. Well, now, how much and what kind of pressure is it on you to be the crew chief rather than the driver when Matt's behind the wheel?
So much. I put pressure on myself more than anything. I'm probably my worst critic and double-check and doubt myself more than anything. But, you know, I wouldn't say there's any more pressure to be a crew chief. But I want to win as bad as Matt does. And I don't care if I'm driving the car or if I'm crew chiefing the car. I want to be in the victory circle at the end of the day. And, you know, personally, while I want to be a race car driver, I realize that there's probably going to be years where I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. And it's nice to be, you know, kind of getting in a different role and understanding the crew chief role a little more than I have. And you know, I guess I wouldn't call myself just a crew chief. I'm kind of a a driver coach at the same time, so I'm a little bit different than some guys. So, but it's good to be running well and get and keeping my name out there. And pretty much every week that we've run successfully, and you know, they definitely know that we're there and we're there to win races.
Gotcha. So now, how confident are you that you can get Matt to victory lane this year?
Well, that's hard to tell. You know, I think our confidence is pretty high after the way that Iowa and Pocono has run. But you just never know where everything's going to go. You got two more racetracks that has never been to. So that's a little bit of a hindrance to us, tracks that he hasn't been to. He definitely runs well at the tracks that we've been to before. Pocono, the second time around, he had raced Iowa before. So that really helped him know where the track was when we before we got there. So Kentucky might not be so bad. We have a test day before then, but Kansas will be an all-new track that you never get until practice time. So it's hard to tell, but as good as our stuff's running right now, we have a really good shot at it. That's all you can really ask for.
Good, good. Now, aside from your crew chiefing, you got behind the wheel yourself this year in the ARCA Series twice now after a pretty long hiatus from the driver's seat. It's been tough, but what was it like for you to get back?
Well, it's difficult when you first get going. It's the same for like a quarterback in NFL. If you don't practice and you don't get to play much, then if you just get thrown in, it's kind of hard to get back into the rhythm of the game. And that's the same way as a race car driver. So it's taken a little bit. You know, I didn't feel like Indy went near as good as what I thought it would be. Even with that, I still felt like we had a fifth or sixth place car, but not where we wanted to be. And, you know, going to Berlin last week, helped that we went to Indy a couple weeks before then, but we're still not quite where we need to be. I think some of it's just the new car blues. We're trying to figure out something that we've never dealt with before. And but as a driver, we're it's always better if you run more. And these guys get to run every week, so I definitely feel like that's an advantage to them. But I do have a lot of experience, so that helps me kind of catch back up again pretty quick.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, Berlin race, where you were doing really well, and kind of looked like you were going to catch the third spot at the end there. But explain from your perspective what that race was like for you and how that all took place.
Well, the weekend didn't start off the way we wanted. We actually struggled in practice quite a bit. But, you know, once we got to qualifying mode, we actually qualified. But, again, you know, we were hoping for more. So the race started in it, and with the ARCA series, the tire rules for the race are a little different than most series. So we only get six tires sitting in our pits for the race. So you have to kind of start the race knowing that you're not going to get a chance to change your left side tires for, you know, better than two-thirds to three-quarters of the race. So you have to be really careful with your tires, and I knew that from the get-go. So I kind of just let some people go, and we fell back to maybe seventh or eighth at the start of the race, and that's fine. But by about 15, 20 laps into the race, you start catching back up to them again.
Yeah.
That's kind of when you know, we started getting together with a couple of the lap-down cars, and that was unfortunate. Yeah. We had one really big hit with one of them, and that messed up the car pretty good as far as the handling of the car. But all in all, we still had a pretty decent car. And through pit stops and how everything worked out, I felt like we had a second-place car if certain things would have worked out. But we for sure had a third-place car. And matter of fact, I still feel like we still finished third. If you look at the videos, it was close. But either way, you know, fourth-place finish is not too bad to still be disappointed in.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I know you're pretty pretty hot after the race, and, you know, I know that it takes a lot for you to lose your cool, especially at the racetrack. But you seem to be pretty piping hot after the race. Can you explain why and what got you so riled up?
Well, most people that know me know that I'm pretty even-keeled when it comes to racing. I understand how racing kind of acts, and I've been around it my whole life, so I've seen a lot of things happen, and you kind of just understand why they happen. But I was pretty mad at one of the lap down cars that got into us pretty hard there and really early in the race. And for a car to be two or three laps down that early in the race, usually they're not very fast. And, you know, he wasn't in a car that's been very fast over the year. And unfortunately, he decided that he needed to run in the middle of the racetrack. And that isn't a place to go. When you come up on a guy as fast as we come up on people there, it's you get one chance to make a decision. So he ran up the racetrack. I made a decision to go low, and he decided at the last second to turn low to let me go high, and there was no room. So you know, unfortunately, it caused quite a bit of damage to our car, both on the suspension and the body. And, you know, it's going to cost money to fix, and I definitely was not happy about that. And, you know, that's the first time I've ever gone over to somebody's pits, and I probably shouldn't have done that in the long run, but
yeah.
I've had enough. And, you know, at some point,
yeah.
you just got to voice your frustration, and that's what I did.
Gotcha. All right, well, that's expected, and it's, you know, it's understood. But, okay, so moving on now. The next planned race is Salem Raceway in a couple weeks, September 19th, I believe. What do we got to do to Junior to get him back in good shape and get him race ready?
Well, it definitely needs the right size. It might need just about the whole right
yeah,
side of it. Unfortunately, we didn't ruin the nose piece, which is probably some of the most expensive parts on it. But it
good.
Did tear off some of the new Arca composite body components and, you know, ruin some of the sheet metal inside with crush panels and rocker panels. So it's going to take a week or so to get everything built back up to it, and then you have to repaint everything, and it takes quite a bit
yeah.
of work to do it all. So between the labor and between buying the parts that we're going to need, we're probably going to have to spend anywhere from $2,500 to $3,500 to fix the car, which
yeah.
is pretty unfortunate, and this isn't exactly a series where we spend that kind of money or make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more frustrating in the fact that it didn't need to happen, but it happened, and now we have
yeah.
to fix it, so... We move along and fix the car, and, you know, that it'll get back together in good shape. I'm confident in that, and
mm-hmm.
we'll be ready to go for Salem come that time. Actually, we want to go try to test there if we can, and we want to run good. That's a track that we feel we can run good at.
Right. 2,500, yeah. Okay, well, I hate when you tell me how much stuff costs sometimes, but anyway, we'll get it fixed, and we'll get it ready to go. But what are you looking forward to on your return to Salem? Like, you know, how long has it been since you raced there, and what's that track like to you?
Well, it's been quite a while. I raced there last in 2007 and actually had one heck of a car and unfortunately ran over some debris on the racetrack with about 40 laps to go and destroyed it. And unfortunately, that's been kind of my MO at Salem. We either win or we destroy a car. And it's usually never always our fault, but, you know, it's like a tire blows. And another time, a second-place driver started a huge wreck 20 laps into the race, and it knocked out about 15 to 20 cars. Got involved in that, running third. And another time, we're running in the top five and get caught up in again in somebody else's wreck. And, you know, it's a track I've run exceedingly well. My dad's run exceedingly well. He's won races there. I've won races there. And, you know, unfortunately, we've donated a few race cars to that place, too. But I have not run there since they repaved it in 3 and 4. And, you know, it looks from the video I've seen from last year's race, it looks like they've helped the track as far as how many holes were in it, but they kept some of the character, which is pretty neat. So it's definitely a different place. If anybody's never been there, it's like a cross between a Darlington and a Bristol. So it's really fast.
Wow.
You're right up against the wall, and you run really hard, and the sparks will be flying.
So are you sure you want to go there?
It's another race.
Now I'm getting nervous.
I thought it would. So, yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'll take your word. I got confidence that, you know, you're going to do really well, and I got to say, you did put a good car on the track all year long, whether it's for Matt or yourself, you know, which is something to be proud of, especially coming out of, you know, your shop and what can be considered a small operation. Now, everyone knows that we relatively have a small operation, but, you know, why don't you tell listeners just how small it is? You know, and can being such a small operation be an advantage to help you do well at the track, and, you know, how, if so?
Well, small, yes. Experience heavy, though, I would say. So we might not have 15 people running around the shop, but we've got three guys that have 20 plus years experience in racing that are working on a car. My dad probably has about 60 years of experience working on race cars.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's while we don't have a lot of extra help, every once in a while we'll call in a couple people that might do some wiring and things like that. But for the most part, we do everything ourselves. And the way the schedule's worked out, it's worked out really well where we've had time. So that's not too bad. The Arca series is a great schedule. I like what they're doing. They're getting ready to run the dirt track races, which unfortunately we're not going to be a part of.
No, unfortunately. Go ahead.
Depending on your perspective on dirt, yeah. But, you know, other than that, we've got a while before our next races. But, You know, I feel good about the people that help us. I like some of the racetrack help that we've been bringing. Been bringing, a tire specialist with some experience in the Nationwide Series.
She's good.
A couple helpers in there. So, you know, and I think that there might even be a couple more people that we've had on our team in the past that'll come and help. So, you know, actually, I feel like we probably have one of the more experienced teams there when we do go to the racetrack. So, the small part is not so bad. You don't have a lot of personalities you have to deal with, so it's just sometimes a good thing. So, and, you know, most of us are older guys now, and we don't have to worry about a bunch of partiers and, you know, a bunch of stuff that kind of goes with some of the racing. So it's actually been fun. I've enjoyed this year. It's been a good year for us. So we've gone to racetracks, run well. We get a chance to do some neat things and get our name out there and keep producing good finishes.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that sounds good. And I got to, you know, faith in you that it's going to work out. It has been so far, and you've been putting good stuff on the track and everything. But let's talk a little bit about what you do when you're not at the shop or at the racetrack. What do you do?
There's not much time that I'm not at the shop.
I know.
So, you know, other than that, I mean, just get to hang out here at home and with the puppies. And, you know, I try to take them to the dog park as much as I can. I hope you didn't hear that. But. We've been racing so much, you don't get much of a chance to do anything. So it's pretty much just build cars, do your laundry, and go home and go racing again. So it's not so bad though, and do whatever we can with the dog.
It's been pretty busy 4 weeks back to back to back like that. So anyway, when it comes to race fans, that you have, I mean, to me they seem pretty loyal. How do you interact with them?
Well, I mostly use social media through Twitter. I'm not really on Facebook anymore. So, other than our race team Facebook, that's kind of about it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but with, the fans that we have and the people that follow me, I try to interact with them as much as I can. And I even interact with some people during the middle of the races, like especially when I'm crew chiefing and things like that. So, that's something not a lot of people do, and I think that's kind of neat. And you know, I think that the people that know me know that I have a little bit different perspective in racing than a lot of people do, and been in it my whole life, and plan to be in it my whole life. So, it's definitely neat to see some of the people that have followed along. And you know, I actually got to meet a girl that I guess I had met back in 2012, but I forgot. That follows me along on Twitter, and she was there at the autograph session at Berlin. So that was pretty neat, an older lady that come up, and it's always neat to find that. And it's funny the different places that we go and the different people that follow you and just pop up and say hey, and it's kind of neat.
Yeah, like that time we were in Ocala Speedway and the lady recognized Bert. That was, yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, that's funny. I recognized my dog before she recognized anybody.
I know. We were never down that speedway before. It's crazy. But, so I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask everyone that comes on the show. What's your most memorable experience with a race fan besides meeting me?
I probably don't have one in particular. When I was driving some stuff for the Richard Petty driving experience, it was kind of neat to see when you get in a car and people get in next to you and you're getting ready to give them rides and stuff like that. And they get in and they're just looking around like they've completely hit the reset button and they obviously don't know what's getting ready to happen. And they look over and you're talking to them and nothing kind of registers to them. So it's kind of funny to see, but then all of a sudden you finally get a hold of them and they realize what's going on and you introduce yourself and they kind of look at you funny like, wait a minute, did I just hear you right? Are you this guy? And they always ask his brother, if I'm Brad's brother. So yeah, of course. But, then they get a chance to get out there and give them rides. It's actually funny because, you know, especially places like Bristol or Charlotte where you can get up close to the wall and it's funny to watch them. Cause you watch them more than you watch the racetrack, but it's funny to watch them react in the car and what they realize what's going on. So that's probably the neatest part of how all that works.
Yeah, I could say I've done that with you at Charlotte. That was a little scary. Yeah.
You didn't get it right any different than anybody else did.
Yeah, right. You got closer to that wall with me in the car. I know you did. Anyway. So now, what are you planning on doing this weekend? I know you got something cool planned.
Yeah, we're actually going up to the Woodward Dream Cruise. I don't get a chance to help my brother's team out very often, but they called me and asked if I would come up and help take a show car up to the Woodward Dream Cruise for them. So we'll be up there Thursday at 2 o'clock, I believe. And I'm not sure if they've announced what they're going to do yet, but we're bringing a pretty neat little show car up there for them. And I think Brad and Rusty are going to do some appearances up there with that car. So it's going to be a pretty neat deal. I think we're going to be there through Saturday. And, I've never actually, being from Michigan and being about 5 miles from Woodward, I've never been to the Woodward Dream Cruise. So it's going to be a first time for me.
What is that cruise about? I never even heard of it.
It is a world known cruise where they bring everybody and their brother brings their show car or race car or street car and drive up and down Woodward. It's something that started back in the 40s and 50s, and they actually made a whole weekend out of it. They shut all the roads down, and people do burnouts in the middle of the road, and it's just a big car fest.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically. Yeah.
Oh, that is cool. Should be a lot of fun. Well, now, how can fans in the area check it out? They just kind of, can they go to it, just show up to it?
Just show
up.
It's free for anybody to come to. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we haven't spoken about yet? I think we covered everything.
Mostly just, we're ready to go to Salem Speedway, and we've got a little bit of sponsorship with Jamie Soch and Soch Construction, and, we're always looking for more to keep going out there and, hopefully get a chance to test. Unfortunately, we do have to worry about our budget a little bit. But I want to go there and have a shot at winning. So we do what we have to do to try to win the race, and that's what we'll do. But we're just going to keep trying hard and keep getting after it, and hopefully some wins will be coming here soon.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for calling in, caller. Thanks for coming on the show. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, because it's you. But, I know you well, and I see you every day, so, there isn't really anything that I haven't already asked you, so I wasn't sure how this was going to go, but it was good. I think it was good. So, all right, well, I will talk to you later, and I will call you when the show's over, and you can come home. All right?
All right,
I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye. Oh, geez. Okay, so that wasn't so bad. Anyway, so yeah, check us out at Salem Speedway. That'll be fun. And this weekend sounds like it's going to be a blast, so I'll let you know how that goes. Okay, let's talk a little about my dedicated Fan in the Sand program. It's going great, even though I did not have one for Watkins Glen this past weekend, but that's okay. It doesn't mean that the program is going to end. And if you want to be one of my future dedicated Fan in the Sand reporters at an upcoming NASCAR race this year, connect with me and tell me which races you're planning on going to and give me a good reason why I should pick you and maybe... just maybe I will. If I do, I'll send you some garage passes and I'll send you to the track on a mission. As you can see, you'll be helping me and a lot of other race fans stay updated all weekend long while you have a great time at the track. Now, I want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC is a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals and businesses manage their finances to help them not only grow their businesses, but improve their quality of life. They have been a huge supporter of this Race Fans Rock radio show, InfieldGen.com, and a strong supporter of Brian Kislaff. And they're a pretty big supporter of RaceFansRock.com, which is my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, have helped thousands of their clients achieve the lifestyle that they've always wanted, and they provided them with the peace of mind with the kind of financial stability that they were looking for. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, will help you live the good life, too. So for more information and to schedule your consultation, visit www.highlandwealthny.com today. That's highlandwealthny.com. Now, if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina, or surrounding areas, and your house is a mess, don't worry. Just give Tate's Cleaning Services a call, and they will get your home or office back in good shape and smelling great in no time at all. There isn't any job that they can't handle, and it's not too big, it's not too small, it's not too disgusting. Now, I have three basset hounds, as you guys all know, and uh, if They have to have the pretty low to the ground. They can get dirty, stinky, and make the rest of your house messy too. They only look low maintenance, but Tate's Cleaning Services is fully licensed and insured, and they're pet friendly. They clean residential homes and commercial buildings and offices. You can find them on Facebook, / Tate Cleaning Services, that's TATES Cleaning Services, or you can email them at NorthCarolinaMaid@gmail.com or give them a call at 763-269-1919. Just tell them Infill Gen sent you. They're the best at what they do, and you will not be disappointed with their results. All right, now as I wait for my second guest, which is Garrett Smithley, to call in, he might be running a little minutes late, but I would like to talk to you a little bit about RaceFansRock.com. My social community is dedicated to racing and everyone in it, and that means you. It's designed for race fans, drivers, teams, members of NASCAR, ARCA, and all members of the media to come together and interact on one amazing social community. You can join for free right now. It's very, very user-friendly, and it's familiar because we've combined the best features of popular social media like Facebook and Twitter and Google+. We put it all together in one awesome site. We post cool and informative information on there every single week, give away prizes to certain kinds of interactions. We have a lot more stuff to come on the way. We're making it a lot more photo-friendly in there, but you can post pictures up as of now. It's real easy to stay connected to social media like Facebook and Twitter because we've integrated them right into RaceFansRock.com. You can post directly to Facebook and Twitter when you post to RaceFansRock. Plus, we took it a step further with the complete Twitter integration, which means when you connect your Twitter account to RaceFansRock, you'll see your entire Twitter feed on RaceFansRock. And you can tweet, favorite, quote, retweet, do it all from RaceFansRock, and it all gets posted straight to Twitter from RaceFansRock. We're currently at 252 members strong as of today, and it's growing pretty quick. The site launched on April 6th this year, and I checked out the stats just before the show like I do every week, and there are well over 165,000 page views and interactions since our launch date. And that tells me one thing. When our members sign on to RaceFansRock.com, they stay there, and that's really cool. This is exactly what I wanted to happen with RaceFansRock.com. Create a site that race fans and the racing community can enjoy spending their time on and, you know, give them every single thing that they want, all on a race-related social site. My personal favorite feature on RaceFansRock.com is the live chat rooms, and I have them set up for every driver in the top three series, and then some, like some of the ARCA drivers have hooked them up with them. I even have my own Infill Gen social sofa chat room, which I use a lot when the races are happening, and I'm in front of a TV watching it with others at home. The conversations in the chat room, it's just fun. You know, we talk about what's going on during the races in real time, not in the past. But, you know, when things are happening on the track, we're talking about it right away. And then when the race is having some good green flag runs, you know, we can get a little off topic, talk about other things like where everyone's from, what they do, you know. And it's really just a good, fun conversation. Gotten away from posting the lap-by-lap results on Facebook and Twitter because it takes too freaking long, you know. You post it, they got to read it, then they got to think about what they want to say to respond to it, you know. Then you got to refresh to see what they said, and then it just takes too long. You know, by the time you do all that, you're 10 laps behind talking essentially about, you know, old news. So from now on, I'm in the live chat room having a great time during the races, and that's what I want to do for every race from now on. We're going to be updating the chat rooms real soon, and once we do, we're going to be able to post pictures in the chat rooms, and you know, the conversation history will be saved as well. As of right now, it's not being saved. It's just a thing in the system. So we have a new update coming out. We'll be able to fix all that up real soon. So, you know, if you join a chat room, you can instantly see what was said. You'll be able to jump right into that conversation and get right all caught up. Now, when you join any of the driver chat rooms, you can instantly connect with other fans that like the same driver as you do. And you never know when that driver will actually join his or her chat room and chat with you live. And if a driver does join RaceFansRock.com, he or she is verified, so you know that you're not talking to an imposter. We've got very, very strict guidelines on RaceFansRock, and if you're not on there talking about racing, you will get a warning. And it's not a dating site, so that kind of stuff will not be tolerated either. No spammy stuff. You know, we've had a couple of spam accounts get on there today, and we took them off. you know, anyone can report any kind of negative behavior and it'll be checked out and dealt with very quickly. So if you haven't joined Race Fans Rock already, go ahead, do it now. Like I said, it's easy, it's free, it's friendly, and it's safe. You definitely will enjoy racefansrock.com. So we were just waiting for Garrett Smithley to call in. He is running a little bit late. I believe he's down over at the Charlotte Motor Speedway with the Richard Petty Driving Experience. And he's kind of doing some stuff over there. And I'm sure he'll talk about all about it when he gets on the line. But moving on, if you've been thinking about getting your feet wet in the motorsports industry, a good way to go about it is to become a team sponsor. Now, I mean, if you want to meet your favorite driver, the easiest way to do it, call him or her up and tell him that you want to give him some money. And just watch how quickly you get to meet them. But seriously, becoming a sponsor is a great way to get yourself directly involved, and you can easily get on board as a sponsor with Brian Keselowski Motorsports. I've made it pretty simple to do so. We definitely would like to do, you know, some more ARCA racing this year. Really, we've got the Salem race coming up September 19th. You know, we're looking for some good people to partner with for the race for that. So if you do want to sign up, you know, sign up with us, that would be great, you know. In addition to having just a decal on a race car or a patch of Brian's uniform, you know, we offer pretty attractive packages that include representation on both BrianKeselowski.com and PhilGen.com, extensive social media awareness that includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, YouTube, and more, as well as live commercials right here on the show. We could even include some VIP passes to the ARCA race and or to a NASCAR Sprint Cup race of our sponsor's choice. You never know. Well, it looks like we have Garrett Smithley on the line right now. And I am going to just get him on the line. Hang on. Hang on, Garrett. I'm getting you on the line. All right. Hey, Garrett. Is that you? Welcome to Fans Rock.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. How's everything going?
Going good. I literally just got off track at Charlotte Motor Speedway. We were out here doing an event with NBC. The affiliates locally here in Charlotte, and it actually just started pouring rain as soon as we got out of the car, so it was good timing.
good deal. So I wanted to kind of have you come on the show and you know, talk about living the dream of the race car driver currently in the NASCAR series, and you know, talk a little about that. So now, just to tell the listeners, you know, we've known each other for a few years, and you know, I know how much and how hard you worked at getting approved and getting a chance to break into the top three series. So, you know, after a lot of hard work, you know, you made it to the big time. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Let's start at the beginning and paint the picture. Where did you come from, and how did you get your start in racing?
Yeah, so I was born in Pennsylvania, a small town called Ligonier. I lived there for the first 5 years of my life, and I think I was in about sixth grade and we moved to Georgia. I was always a huge race fan growing up, 2-3 years old. My dad went to school at Embry-Riddle University, which is right behind Daytona, and he was always a huge race fan growing up and going to college. So naturally, when I was born, he immediately got us into NASCAR. I remember watching races at 2-3 years old, knowing all the drivers, all the crew chiefs, all the sponsors, and everything like that. And I didn't really get the bug to race until I was about 13 or 14. I got on some amusement park go-karts one day, and it was like a switch flip. I immediately got off those go-karts. I told my parents that I wanted to go racing, and they thought I was crazy. So from that day forward, I was absolutely obsessed with, you know, becoming a race car driver. So I did some research. I found a local Bandolero and Legend car series in at Atlanta Motor Speedway called Thursday Thunder, and started racing in Bandoleros. We had some local sponsors help us out, helping us through the ranks. So I started there, won some championships. We were immediately fast right off the bat, and I really took to it very naturally. So we had really good success in Bandoleros and moving up to Legend cars, and we went from Legend cars, and we'll go back and talk about, you know, how I got that, but I went from Legend cars straight into the ARCA series. I actually tested with Brian Keselowski, mm-hmm. at Daytona, and obviously you were a part of all that. Which was it was a huge opportunity for me. He really gave me my shot. That got me approved for the ARCA series, and I ran three races with Derek Cope Racing and did very well. We started at Pocono and ran in Kentucky and had some really good success. And on up into 2014, we ran at Talladega. Didn't do a lot of racing in 2014, just did a couple late model stuff. Like you said, there's an approval process that you have to go through with NASCAR. But we did some late model stuff. And then 2015 really was, like you said, I mean, I made it to NASCAR. I got to the Camper World Truck Series and got to drive at Atlanta, which is my home track. It's just everything's just fallen. It's just been perfect so far. And we're looking to make my third start here at Michigan International Speedway this weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. So, but like almost everybody else who wanted to get into the sport, you know, you had to make that move to Race City USA, North Carolina. How and when did you actually make that move?
Yeah, so going back, I was racing in the Legend Cars in 2010. That's when I started. I just graduated high school, 18 years old at the time, and I didn't really know what I was going to do because I knew I needed to get to Charlotte. Everybody told me, they said, if you want to make it in racing, you have to get to Charlotte. So I didn't know a soul up there. I was kind of looking for the chance, and I met a guy called, his name was Jeff Salter, and he was an employee at the Richard Petty Driving Experience. And at that time, the Petty Experience was doing a development program called the Richard Petty Driver Search. And and they it was kind of like a development program. It was like a four-day training camp in Charlotte. And I didn't think I was going to get accepted because I had such little – little experience. I had never been in a stock car before. I made the call and talked to the head driving instructor, and he said, "We'll go ahead and accept you because you seem like a decent kid. Seemed like, you know, you kind of got your head on straight and really driven." So they gave me the opportunity. I did a development program with them and did very well, so well that a couple months later they called me and asked me if I wanted to work for them. So I started working for the Richard Petty Driving Experience at, I think it was in 2011, and that's when I made the move to Charlotte.
Very cool. Now, being that you work at the Petty Driving Experience as an instructor and a ride-along driver, how has working at them, working for them, helped you as a driver, you know, develop?
It's been, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing right now without the experience I got. I picked a very, very difficult path in racing. I didn't come from a racing background. I'm a first-generation racer. I didn't really have the funds to do it. So, you know, I tried to make every opportunity that I could work. And, you know, with the Petty Experience, I was obviously getting paid to drive race cars. I've been probably on 15 different NASCAR tracks. And without that experience that I gained working for them, doing ride-alongs and instructing, I couldn't have made the move to ARCA when I did, because I went from actually racing a 130 horsepower Legend car on as big as a 4/10 mile track to racing an 800 horsepower ARCA car at Pocono, a 2.5 mile track, probably one of the toughest tracks in NASCAR. So yeah. I tell that story, everybody thinks I'm crazy for doing it, but it's just, you know, I had the sponsor to do it. I had to take the opportunity when I could, and I couldn't say no to that. And luckily it worked out, but I couldn't be doing what I'm doing without the help of the Richard Petty Driving Experience.
Exactly. Well, yeah, obviously we can't do much in this sport without the help and support of sponsors. So who are some of the sponsors that helped you along the way?
Yeah, so my very first sponsor in Legend Cars was Peach City Golf Cars. It's a local golf cart shop that bought me my first Legend car. They really, really supported me throughout my career, even up into the ARCA series, and he continues to support me as much as he can. Right now, our biggest sponsor, biggest supporter is SegPay. It's an online merchant payment processing company, and they sponsored me at Daytona in the ARCA car. They sponsored me at Atlanta. They sponsored me at Pocono, and now we're going to be taking them to Michigan, and they're actually making it possible for me to make my Xfinity debut later on this year at Homestead. So they've been a huge supporter of me. It's crazy to get hooked up with somebody like them and just, you know, somebody that's so supportive. And much like Peach City Golf Cars, SegPay had no idea, you know, had nothing to do with racing, and They didn't know anything about it, and uh-huh. we brought them out to Daytona for an awesome VIP weekend, and they loved it, and they're absolutely hooked.
Very cool. I'm really happy to hear that. So after Michigan, now your plan is to do a Homestead, or are you doing a race in between that?
Right now, the only thing that is solid is we're racing Homestead in the Xfinity car, and we haven't announced the details yet, but I know that I will be in a truck as well at Homestead, so I'll be pulling double duty that weekend, which is going to be really
Sweet.
Challenging because that'll be my first double duty weekend. So
hoping
to stick with MB Motorsports. They're an awesome team with Mike
mm-hmm.
Mittler. Obviously, they've had a lot of success in the sport, a lot of history in the sport. They're the only truck team that's been around since the first season of trucks. So. Carl Edwards started their career there, and Dave McMurray. So I hope that I get the chance to follow suit.
Yeah.
But right now I'm really happy with what they're doing. Yeah, and they've got a lot of momentum. Obviously, they had their best career finish at Eldora with Bobby Pierce, and I'm hoping that I can get them a solid top 10, if not a win. If everything works
yeah.
out before the end of this year.
Oh, that would be awesome! I'm very happy for you. Wow, that's awesome. So, Garrett, what would you say or what advice would you give to a kid out there who's sitting at home and has the same dream that you did of one day being an NASCAR driver?
Well, the biggest thing, I started at 15, and a lot of guys that are racing in the top-level series and even, working their way up, they start at, 4, 5, 6 years old. I thought at 15 I was too late. Obviously, mm-hmm. I've kind of, proved that wrong. I'm getting my opportunity in the truck series now and in the Xfinity series, and hopefully I'm going to be running something full-time next year. So at the end of the day, you can't give up. There's so many chances. There's so many times, throughout my career where, things weren't going right and nothing was happening and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I just said, hey, this is my goal. This is what my dream. I'm going to make this happen. And first of all, you have to work hard. Anything in
yeah.
life that's worth doing, that's difficult, you have to work hard. If this was easy, everybody would do it. So, you have to work hard. You have to be driven. You have to keep your nose clean. You have to, work as hard as you can. And the other thing is, you never know who you're talking to. So many
exactly.
times I've been, with the Petty Experience or even, out, having lunch somewhere in the Charlotte area, there's racing people all around the area. So,
mm-hmm.
You never know who you're talking to. So, make sure you're doing everything, in your power to be presentable. You gotta be well spoken. You have to talk. You can't be shy in this sport. You have to know how to
no.
do all the media stuff. And that's the other thing, for kids that are starting their career, Bandoleros or Legend Cars or Quarter Midgets or whatever, marketing, media and marketing are two things that are so important in this sport. And you have to document everything that you do. You have to be on social media. You have to do interviews. You have to do all these things. That makes you a well-rounded race car driver. I had the good fortune of having a theater background when I was in high school, and that's really helped me kind of get to the next level and kind of differentiated myself from other drivers. So you can't let that go. You can't just focus on racing. You have to think about both the business
exactly.
side and the marketing side.
Exactly. I'm so glad that you said all that. That's awesome. Now, so you know the importance of your fans. How do you interact with them?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook and Twitter all the time. We've
mm-hmm.
had a pretty big influx of fans on my Facebook page. It's Garrett. It's facebook.com/GarrettSmithRacing. I'm on Twitter all the time. Very, very easy to reach me. Just tweet me at Garrett Smithley. I pretty much respond to anybody who tweets me if I can. Obviously, on race weekends, there's so many people that tweet me and so many fans out there. So I'll at least reach out and retweet. Also,
mm-hmm.
something new that I'm not sure if you've been on there or not, but Periscope. Live video stream. That's something that I've really started to do. And
cool.
And that's an awesome way to reach out to fans and to kind of, give them a piece of, what life as a race car driver is like. We did a lot of Periscope stuff with my manager, Philip, from the Philip Daniel Group, and my girlfriend on the way up to Pocono. So we had a lot of fun doing that, interacting with fans. So I'm always on social media, and if you go to my website, as far as autograph cards and fan mail, I have a PO box set up. So if you check out GarrettSmithy.com, I'm always reachable. I'm happy to interact with fans. Without fans, we couldn't have this sport. So, I'm not shy about talking to anybody.
See, and even before you got all these opportunities, I know that, you and I have spoken quite often, and you've always had a really good, attitude towards, fans and getting more on social media. And that's why, one of the reasons why I really liked you. But I want to ask you now.
Well, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a question that I ask everybody on the show, even Nick Bryan. He was on a little while ago. But what is your most memorable experience with a race fan so far?
With a race fan? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Man. There's so many. Every day that I'm at the racetrack, and even with the petty experience, it's a whole new side of fans, because they get to come out and they get to experience what it's like to be behind the wheel of a race car, or riding, what it's like to feel what it's like to ride in a race car.
Mm-hmm.
I think so far at Pocono, it's not a specific fan, but I have a lot of family come out because, like I said before, I was born up there. So we have a lot of family mm-hmm. to come out, and all three races, I raced two ARCA races there and one truck race last week, and all three events I've been able to go up to the stands afterwards and meet with my grandparents. And
cool.
With that, obviously I was in my full race suit and all that good stuff, so everybody just immediately clamored to me, and that was an awesome experience. Sorry, they just fired up a car behind me. That's
okay.
Always an awesome experience to hang out with fans in that sense, because they're not expecting you to come up and talk to them. So
gotcha.
I think, moving forward throughout my career, I think that I'm going to make that a tradition of, after the race, if I have the opportunity to, I'm going to get on up there and hang out with some of the fans after the races.
Oh, I'd love that. That would be awesome. And that would definitely help you build your fan base really quickly. So good job. But now, aside, when you're actually not at the track, what do you do? How do you have fun? What's the good stuff that you do?
I don't know. I'm pretty obsessed with this racing stuff, so it's pretty much on my mind 24/7. I do a lot of online racing. I do iRacing to kind of, when I'm not on track, it kind of keeps me sane.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously,
gotcha.
I talked about doing the petty experience, traveling around to different tracks. So,
mm-hmm.
Really, I just like to chill out. When you're at the track, there's so much pressure. There's so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's all the cameras. There's so much media and all the people. So, after a race weekend, I just like to come back home and chill out, watch TV, and just kind of get ready for the next one.
It's so funny. Brian said the same thing.
I mean, it's a show. I mean, you got to be on 24/7 when you're at the track.
Yep, absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. Well, Garrett, is there anything else that you would like to talk that we haven't gotten to yet? Anything else you want to bring up?
I don't think so. I think like I said, I'm racing this weekend. That will be live on Fox Sports 1 at 1:00. I believe it's on MRN and NASCAR XM channel 90.
Great.
And like I said, just drop me a line if you get a chance. Send me an email or send me a tweet, and I'll make sure to get back to you.
Cool. Now, Garrett, what number is your truck this week?
Number 63. It's actually the same
63.
Truck that I ran at Pocono. So
okay.
We got
cool.
Trip Bruce, veteran crew chief on the box. So
nice.
We're looking for a good top 15 finish.
Absolutely. Well, Garrett, I wish you all the luck in the world, and I will be rooting for that number 63. I want to thank you
so
for coming
much for
on
having
the
me
show
on,
tonight. Jen. Absolutely, anytime. And I said I wish you all the luck in the world. Keep up the great work. You're welcome to come back on the show anytime. Update us and let me know what you're doing at the track and what's next. If I can help you out in any way, let me know. I will.
Absolutely. I'll definitely give you a call. I'm sure I'll be on the show soon.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Garrett. All right. You take care. Good luck this weekend.
Yep. You too. Thanks.
Bye. Oh, he's doing great. And that was Garrett Smithley, everyone. He'll be in the number 63 truck this week. And I know that he's worked really hard to get where he's at now. And I know he's going to continue to do so. So you can expect to hear his name a lot more in the future. And I would really love to see him go the distance in NASCAR. That's awesome. That's really, really cool. Yeah. Well, that just makes me happy. Okay. Well, moving on. You know, I have a lot of programs out there to continue to get fans involved, you know, and it helps us raise funds that we need to go racing, you know, just like what Garrett's trying to do. You know, you got those, you got to come up with stuff to get the fans involved. And I have my Infield Gen fan sponsorship program, and it's really helping out. It's really, really doing it. It really helped us get Brian back on track this past, you know, couple of races in the ARCA series. Now, my Infield Gen fan sponsorship program allows us to connect with race fans. It allows them to have the access to the NASCAR races that they are dying to go to. It gives them the chance to meet all their favorite drivers while they help, you know, our team. Now, I started the program in the beginning of the year, and it's really caught on. I turn race fans into sponsors every single day, and I can do it for you too. I turned two of them today. Now, I bet you didn't know that that you could be considered a team sponsor for as little as $100. That's right, I said $100. Now, based on the different packages I'm offering, our sponsor will receive a VIP pass or a few of them to a NASCAR Sprint Cup race of their choice for any of the races remaining in the 2015 season. That includes the Chase races. Now, for more information, go to infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. I have it all written out, and I've posted a list of commonly asked questions. So, you know, you're going to have all the information that you need right there to make the decision. And once you do, just contact me and tell me when I will be turning you into a team sponsor too. That's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. So go check it out right now, and well, after the show. And I'm telling you, you never knew how easy it was to do this. I can customize packages as well. So if you want to see your logo, your company logo, or whatever it is on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series car, even if it isn't on Brian Keselowski's car at the track, I can still make that happen for you. Kind of know some people in the garages, and I can do that, okay? I will hook you up. So go check it out, and that's infieldgen@gmail.com. All right, so now that the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Xfinity teams have returned from the road course at Watkins Glen International, the next track on the agenda this week, as Garrett said, is very fast, and it's Michigan International Speedway. Well, at least for the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Camping World Truck Series, that is. The NASCAR Xfinity Series have another weekend of road course racing to look forward to at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Everybody just called it Mid-Ohio. Okay, it's time to find out who's who, who's in it, and who's driving what this weekend. Starting with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, there are 34 cars on the preliminary entry list for Saturday's 200 at Michigan International Speedway. A couple of notes. We got Alex Bowman in the 00. Not sure who's driving the number 18 just yet, still to be announced, but I'm sure they'll figure it out before the green flag drops. Ryan Blaney will be in the number 29. Chad Finley will be in the number 30, making his debut for Rhett Jones Racing in the series. Now, they are a brand new team based in the heart of Race City, Mooresville, North Carolina. Austin Dillon will be in the number 33. Todd Peck will be in the number 40. Still not too sure who's driving the number 50, but again, I'm sure they'll figure it out before the green flag drops. Kyle Busch will be in the number 51, and Cody Coughlin will be in the number 54. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Careers for Veterans 200, presented by Cooper Standard and Brad Keselowski's Checkered Flag Foundation, is set to start on Saturday, August 15th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. Moving on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series, there's 38 cars on the entry list for Saturday's Mid-Ohio 200 at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. We have Derek White, who is listed as the driver of the number 13, Carlos Contreras will drive the number 15 for Rick Ware Racing. Kenny Habul will remain in the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. Alex Tagliani, how you doing, will drive the number 22 for Penske. I gotta say that. Tommy Drizzy remains in the number 26. Brandon Jones will be in the number 54. Jimmy Weller is entered in the number 90.
The Mid-Ohio 200 at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course is set to start on Saturday, August 15th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired on NBCSN. All right, moving on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Next, the entry list for the Pure Michigan 400 at Michigan International Speedway shows 44 teams and drivers for only 43 spots. Some notables are Brian Blaney in the 21 for the Wood Brothers. Josh Wise will be in the number 32 for Go Green Racing, and you can expect to see Josh in the number 32 for the next three races. That includes this weekend, Bristol next weekend, and Darlington the following weekend. Team owner Archie St. Hilaire went on to hint that Josh could fulfill more races in the number 32 before the season's end, but he didn't share much more after that. I can find out a little more, maybe. We're going to see Alex Kennedy in the number 33 for Circle Sport Racing this weekend, along with Reed Sorensen in the number 62, and Timmy Hill will be in the number 98. Now, Reed Sorensen in the 62 will need to be in the top 36 in speed because the team has no provisionals available to them since they are the lowest in the owner's points, currently in 46th position. Ryan Blaney in the number 21 will miss the race if qualifying should be canceled, because he has the least amount of race attempts this year, with only 10 attempts so far. Now, if you're not at the track this weekend, and if you're not able to catch the action, that's okay. Just grab a seat with me on my social sofa in my very own live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com. Keep in touch with me and continue sending me your questions and requests all week long. Find me on racefansrock.com simply typing in InfieldGen in the search box. Me on Facebook at facebook.com/InfieldGenFanpage and /RaceFansRock. To follow me on Twitter at InfieldGen, and I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Pinterest, Periscope, Tumblr, YouTube, and more as InfieldGen. Just whatever it is, I'm on it. Just Google it as InfieldGen and you'll find me. Make sure to visit my website, InfieldGen.com, on a daily basis and check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results that includes all practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results, complete with race notes and penalty reports for every single race. Make sure you also check out my new blog post, cool fan stories, post-race audio interviews straight from the media centers at each and every racetrack we visit, different teams' press releases, photos from my dedicated fan in the stand reporters every weekend, and so much more. I post so much stuff on that site, it's not even funny. So check it out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on InfieldGen.com. And then, you know, show some love, click over to my merchandise tab, and get yourself some InfieldGen gear. I got some pretty cool stuff on there. All right, well, I am out of time for tonight's show. I want to thank Garrett Smithley and my boyfriend Brian Kislowski for coming on the show. I want to thank all the race fans who allowed me to turn them into sponsors this week, and a huge shout-out to Highland Walk Devices, LLC, for their much-loved continued support. Thank you, Tate's Cleaning Services, for helping me keep a clean home, and to each and everyone here who tuned in tonight. I hope you guys enjoy this weekend's races at Michigan International Speedway and Mid-Ohio. If you go on any of the tracks this weekend, feel free to send me some of the awesome pictures you take so I can see how much fun you're having at the track, and I'll post them on InfieldGen.com under the Fan Central section. Thanks again for tuning in tonight, and you know we're going to have to do this again next Tuesday evening. Till then, have a great week, and I will catch up with you again right here, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, RaceFansRock.com. Join today. Good night.